Okay, one last time. We've had our projector debacle this week. Last week, we turned it on and heard this explosion come from the machine. I saw Judy Riley come 4 inches out of her seat. At least I did. Anyway, the both of us. And Eric Russo, God bless you, got on a ladder this week, our resident roofer, and he replaced the bulb with one we had, and it still didn't work, so we ordered a new bulb, and we put that one in, and it still didn't work. So, one more week, we've got some printed words. Sorry, folks, it's a little hard to see, I think, but appreciate your patience with that. Let's stand, and in spite of that, we can still worship God.
Amen.
We can still lift up His name. Back in the days of Jesus, there were no projectors. And for thousands of years, there were no projectors, and they worshiped God, and so can we. Mm-hmm. All right, so. Heaven thundered, and the world was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. Faith commanded, and the mountains move. Fear is losing ground to our hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Freedom conquered, all our chains undone. Sin defeated, Jesus has overcome. Mercy triumphed when the third day dawned. Darkness was denied when the stone was gone. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God, unstoppable. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, we believe you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Do the impossible, God. Praise your name, our God. Praise your name, our God. Praise your name, our God. Thank you, Lord. You know, we sing that nothing is impossible with God, but do we believe it? Oh, God, help us, Lord. The next song we're going to do, it's a new song called Same God. You know, the same God that parted the Red Sea is our God today. The same God that appeared to Mary is the same God today. The same God that healed through Jesus, fed 5,000, did impossible things, is the same God. Oh, let's believe him. Let's believe him to do all of those things. God, help us. Lord, help our unbelief, Father. Lord, we want to be people of faith. Lord, we don't want to be people of presumption, but we want to believe you for greater things. Help us, Lord, today. This song has a number of declarations in it. And as we go, it's a little long. I'm sorry, I've got to look at it on a sheet, but let the truth of this song hopefully can sink into your heart. I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the Red Sea. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. Yes, Lord. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giant. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faith. Oh God, how I need you. Oh God, I need you. Oh God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, O Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. You heard your children then, you hear your children now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were providing then, you are providing now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You moved in power then, God, move in power now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were a healer then, you are a healer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were a Savior then, you are a Savior now. You are the same God, you are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. You freed the captives then, you're freeing hearts right now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You touch the lepers then, I feel your touch right now. You are the same God, you, oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm calling on the Holy Spirit, Almighty River, come and fill me. Come and fill me again. Come and fill me again. Oh, Jesus, yes, we need you, Lord. Come and fill us, Lord. Ha-ra-ma-ma-ma. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Oh, praise your Lord Jesus. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. For you, oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Oh, we believe you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. I will build life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those of. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you door and fill me with your heart and lead me in love to those around me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, holy, there is none beside you. None beside you, Lord.
Forever I'll love you, forever
Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Oh, Jesus, we lift your name. Oh, we lift our hearts, we lift our voice. You are God. Oh, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name, our God. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you today. You are wonderful. God, you're wonderful. Jesus, we proclaim your goodness. Oh, God, your goodness, your wonderful mercy to us. Jesus, we shout, we sing to you because you're worthy. Thank you, Father. Oh, God. Today we're going to celebrate communion together. And I can't say enough. I hope that when you come to church, that you come with expectation. Because we're not just coming again to remember something or to sing some nice songs. We're coming to the presence of God. And when God's presence is here, anything can happen. Anything can happen. The Red Sea can part. Lepers can be cleansed. The deaf can hear. The dumb can speak. God, we believe you for all those miracles, Lord, even in this day. How we need you. As we sang today, oh God, how we need you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And the reason for all of the miracles in the Old Testament and for everything that Jesus did in the New Testament was all pointing to the cross. And then past the cross to the resurrection that we'll be celebrating in just a few weeks. But today we're talking about the price that Jesus paid so that we could have that resurrection life, so that our sins could be washed away, so that we could enjoy that inner healing as well as the outer healing, and so that the Spirit of God would come and we could see those wonderful miracles done. And we're believing for more, but it's all because Jesus was willing to come and become a man and sacrifice himself. Father, we thank you for that wonderful gift today, Lord, that changed all of history, the focal point of all history. We give you thanks and praise today. I'm going to invite you to come for communion in just a moment, and we serve what we call an open communion. What that means is, in order to take communion with us, you need to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the only requirement. If you have given your heart to the Lord, then the Scripture does admonish us to come and examine ourselves. But let the Holy Spirit do that. And just say, Father, anything that I need to let go of, anybody I need to forgive. But as we come today, I'm going to ask you to come forward, take the elements, and then we'll hold them and partake of them together. So if you would come now. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the night that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Father, we do thank you for that old rugged cross, Father, that you endured for the joy set before you. Thank you, Father. Help us to always be mindful of the price that was paid so that we could have our sins washed away. Thank you. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. A few prayer needs today. Just a brief update on Luann. If you didn't see the message that went through, she was scheduled for surgery. Luann was scheduled for surgery on Friday, and the surgeon decided to cancel her surgery. I'm assuming because there was some concerns over putting a stent in one of her veins. A risky procedure. So they've increased her medicine and they're continuing to expect that to have some result in dissolving those clots. But I want to pray today for God to do a miracle. So thank God she has been, as far as I know, event-free, stroke-free for the last at least seven days, which is a wonderful thing, seeing that since she entered the hospital, she had five, I think, mini strokes. So please remember this week to continue to pray for her. There is nursing home ministry today. Let's pray over that. Our sister Kathy Chafee was going to come today, and she's still not well. We want to lift her up. Wayne and Judy Taggart have been struggling with illness, and we want to continue to lift them up as well. They've got that respiratory illness. Judy's not here. Wayne was here a little bit, and I think he left. So, Father, we just pray, Father, for our sister Luann. God, that you would cause these clots to dissolve and that you would restore her, heal her body, help her, Father. Lord, we pray. We know that you are the God of miracles, even as we sang today. Lord, we pray that you would extend grace and virtue and touch our sister.
Deliver her. Father, let her be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your word says by his stripes we were healed. So, Lord, we're asking for that for Luann today. Father, we pray for our sister Kathy Chafee. We pray for the Taggarts, Lord, and for people struggling with this respiratory thing that's been going around. Lord, we pray that you would deliver them from it. Clear their lungs, clear their heads, Father. I pray for release from illness and recovery in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're able to do it. Father, we pray for this for the nursing home visit today. Father, we thank you for the chance to be able to share with people who may be in their last the last leg of their journey on this earth. But Father, how important it is for them to find Jesus before their time here on this earth ends. Father, I pray that you would use that ministry to not only encourage the believers there, but that people who don't believe there would be able to receive you. They'd have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Lord, we give you thanks and praise, blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't get around to all of the board. I just want to mention, if you're here and you're on our church board today, I'd like to meet just briefly right after service, just for a moment. Won't be a long meeting, but I do need to catch you on an issue. So, thank you. We are super excited to have Tom and Judy back this morning. I'm glad you got to go, but we missed you a lot. Didn't we? Come on up and share, folks. We'd love to hear. Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay. I didn't think I was going to be able to stand up here today because I have children's church this morning. But you know what? We want to thank you so much because you were a huge part of sending us on this mission. And every year it just gets a little bit better. We were planning to go to Oklahoma and we stopped after 3 weeks and we said, should we still go? Not sure if we're feeling so great, but the Lord just came in and just, you know, helped us through all of that, and we just pressed on to Oklahoma. And we weren't there as long as we thought we were going to be, but it was just God blessed us with every group of people who we met with, whether it was one person or two persons or more than, there were oftentimes times when there were more than just two people. But we just felt God's presence. And we knew you were praying for us back here. And as we were praying for so many of you, as we heard about things, or as just because we know you and we know what you're going through and we know what you're facing every day. But it was just really a God thing. And I'm going to let Tommy tell you more about it because he had planned to do that. But I thank you that we were able to go and to be released to go, as you were generous and faithful to pray for us. And we felt that. It was really wonderful knowing that your local church is behind you when you go out to do something like that.
When he gets out notes, everybody's saying, oh no. Just a few statistical things. We traveled just shy of 5,000 miles. We visited people in 8 states, but we traversed 13. Mostly who we met were couples, and there were 20 different meetings. And as Judy has already said, we want to really thank you for support, prayer support. And there are so many expressions. You know, I worked with missionaries for many, many years, And I would work with churches as they deal with missionaries. And I would tell churches concerning their missionaries, being sent is not the same as being let go. And we just had this sense of being sent as representatives of the body of Christ here in Wellsville. And I was trying to figure out how to best, how can we best, oh, let me say this too. It was February. We had no weather problems. That was amazing. Like, I think we went up to Connecticut and there was some snow, and that was the end of that. And then when we were down in South Carolina, we hit a rainstorm. Other than those two times, it was blue skies, and there were daffodils, and there were things like that. So it was really fabulous travel. We were concerned about coming through the plain states in February, you know, because anything. I had this tremendous survival thing in my car. I mean, we could have lived in that car for probably a week or two. I had MREs. I mean, I was ready to go, and never even had to open it up. But when I was trying to think, how can I express, and I'm in a quandary, because what I'm about to do sounds like, it really sounds like a spotlight on us. And the thing is about encouraging people is that it doesn't take any special gifting to do it. It doesn't take a college degree. It doesn't take a calling to ministry. It doesn't. We can encourage each other. And so we can tell you they were encouraged. But what I thought I would do, and this is where it gets a little embarrassing, because a lot of these are saying how wonderful Judy and I are, and that's not really what I want you to hear. I want you to hear the impact that just taking a little time had on some people. So I'm just going to read a few things, some of the feedback we had. Some of these were on Facebook, some weren't. So this one lady that Judy and I have known for 40 years, they were in ministry. She was in ministry with her husband for many years, started a church, and pastored that church for 20 years down in Laurel, Maryland. And then they went to India more than 40 times. Went to Niger, I don't even remember how many times there, and they just were just such a blessing in those nations. But then they got older, her husband passed, she had to sell her house, and now she's living in, not assisted, she's independent. Her part of the building is independent living. And so everything has changed for her. And she's down in Knoxville, Tennessee, where nobody knows her. So there she sits. So we always go, whenever we're down there, whenever we're in Knoxville, we go to see her. So she said, had a wonderful visit today from friends from Elam Fellowship. We spent hours talking about old times together and the adventures we have had following the footsteps of Jesus. What great memories of God's faithfulness and love spanning the last 50 years. I am so grateful for their visit and encouragement to me. And we had a wonderful meal together. My cup runneth over. And then she followed it up with this. The next day, I'm still rejoicing over the visit of friends yesterday from my past life. What fun to look back over the years and share together about the great things the Lord has done in our lives. I'm surrounded here in my new location by new friends, but friends who don't know the adventures of the younger Gene, but only are acquainted with the current Gene. My time on memory lane yesterday was a time of stirring the waters and perhaps bringing the former Gene to the surface again. She's a powerhouse for the Lord. Then somebody else wrote this. What a special blessing for us today. Dear ministry friends from New York took us to dinner just to check in on us. No agenda, just care. Tom and Judy Brazell, thank you for loving like Jesus. What a special blessing for us today. Dear ministry friends from New York took us to... Evidently, I cut and pasted that twice. I was reading again. Here's one. What a wonderful ministry you two have. You are joy bringers. I need to say again, this takes no special training. We're not all that. We just took a little time to say hello to people and the impact it has on people. And here's something that somebody wrote with a little dig in the middle of it. You guys are amazing to have such a heart for God's people around the world at your age that you would travel and encourage them. It's good to have friends. I'm not going to go too much farther, but today was fabulous. Our friends Tom and Judy visited from New York by way of Blowing Rock, North Carolina, where they had been staying for the past few days. They left their home in January and have been visiting missionaries, pastors, and other friends, plus some family up and down the eastern side of the country. Through this trip, they will also be going to Oklahoma and Indiana, which we did. They won't be home until the end of February. Why have they done this 5 years in a row? Just to be a blessing and to bring encouragement and friendship to as many as they can. What a joy. They have kept a pretty full schedule for sure. We're grateful they chose to come and see us when there are so many others yet to see. Next year, we hope they'll stay with us for a while. Okay, maybe one more here. Dear Tom and Judy, this is a private message. Dear Tom and Judy, thanks so much for the wonderful day. I am almost embarrassed that I dumped on you all my experiences here on this mission field, plus shared all sorts of experiences of the past that no one here can possibly understand. And you and Judy just sat there so patiently and let me pour it all out. I think I was almost desperate for someone who spoke the same language that I do. Perhaps I should call it Christianese. It was a wonderful day for me, reliving memories and unburdening my heart over the concerns here, and I enjoyed the lunch so much. The two of you are truly ambassadors of Christ, and I am so grateful for your ministry to me today. May the Lord bless and keep the two of you as you serve as his ambassadors. I'm so glad. Okay. Thank you so much for your ministry to me today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I was a life that was changed. It's a reference to a song. Or perhaps I should say revived. Blessings and love to you from both, and safe journeys as you continue this mission journey. My welcome mat is always out, Agape. That's just how people feel. And I don't want to get to preaching, and so I won't. But I will say this: when Christians are very concerned and wanting to give out, oh, they want the power gifts, and they want to be prophesying over people and laying hands on people and raising the dead. All good stuff. I'd like to see some of that. A powerful church would be one that just could encourage each other. Just encourage each other. Don't be critical. I remember Judy's sister had a magnet on her refrigerator and had some kids playing there. And the magnet says, catch them doing something right. And so our whole focus needs to change. Two people that we met with, the very day that we met with them, they had both had very serious cancer diagnoses the very day. Neither one of them at that time had any awareness of where that road was going to take them or what kind of treatment they were going to have. And you might imagine if it was you that got that news, having someone just to sit and talk with might be important. And so we just showed up just at the right time. And we've been in touch with them, and they do have a long road ahead of them, but we're believing God for healing there. There were a number, as we age and we lose our spouses, there is a number that just are in that period of grief, you know, as they've lost their spouse and feel kind of... So they got two things going on. One, they're older and they're someplace where they haven't been living. That's one thing. The second is their spouse is gone. And it's a funny thing how when a spouse is gone, somehow the remaining spouse gets ignored in the life of other people. And so it was important, I think, that God took us to the right place at the right time. We did make it to Oklahoma. Our plans had changed, and we were only there one day, so we didn't get to see Armenio. please don't tell them I was there and didn't see them, because we really wanted to. There just wasn't time to do that. So maybe when we go back, we will make sure we spend a whole day with him. Anyhow, again, that's I don't know what else to say about it. That's just the way that was the mission. That's what we went to do. It was great. We spent 5,000 miles in a car together in less than 1 month, and we still are talking with each other. So that's like, there are great miracles afoot. You know, this is a powerhouse thing God is doing here. So anyhow, again, thank you for not just letting us go. Thank you for sending us. And if there's the finances that came really did help, we appreciate that. And we'll probably be doing it again next year, Lord willing. But for now, we're just probably going to stay around here for a little bit. So anyhow, thank you, Pastor Dave, for letting us give this report.
Amen. You know, the scripture says life and death are in the power of the tongue. What Tom said was true. People need a word of encouragement. There's so much. We got enough people that are going to tear you down all day, all week long. Find a way to say something encouraging to somebody. Encourage it. The person right next to you might need some encouragement today. And he immediately looked right over. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it's so easy for the people that we're close to be critical, to say critical things of them. Speak life. Speak encouraging things. Speak the things that are going to help them. That's what I heard in what Tom was just sharing over and over. People appreciated somebody just coming and speaking life to them. Amen. Well, I'm not going to be long today. We're going to... the Lord spoke to me on a topic that I always feel a little uncomfortable sharing on. The Lord told me to share on the topic of giving today. And I always argue with the Lord because I say, well, Lord, you know, we have this small church, and when we take an offering for Rahema or Operation Christmas Child or missionaries or this or that, people just give. It's like preaching to the choir. But I want to approach this from a little bit different angle today. So if you can bear with me, and we don't have, I'm sorry, a projector for scriptures today. So today you get to have a sword drill. Do you know what a sword drill is? We used to do those at the Wellsville Christian School. We'd always like, okay, Bible's up. And they'd give a reference, and the kids would race to get to see who could be there first and stand up, and, you know, their team would win. So if you got your Bible with you today, if you don't, you can write down those references or whatever and look them up. But I'm going to start in Matthew 19 today. Matthew 19, and it's verses 16 through 24. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 24. Just then, a man came up to Jesus and inquired, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to obtain eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." That was not the answer I was expecting from Jesus. "Which ones?" the man asked. Jesus answered, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," said the young man. "What do I still lack?" Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away in sorrow because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." I think that the very beginning of this passage is very revealing. If you look back at verse 16, "Just then a man came up to Jesus and inquired, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to obtain eternal life?'" So what he's saying to Jesus is, "Hey, what? I want to do something good so I can go to heaven. What good thing can I do?" He was looking for something he could do. He was looking for some good deed that he could do. You know, he was hoping to be saved because he was doing something good. And I think, you know, so Jesus challenges him with, first of all, with the commandments. He says, "Well, keep the commandments. Do this." You know, he said, "Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, honor your father and mother, love your neighbors yourself." And so the kid says, "Well, yeah, I've done all these things." And I can imagine Jesus, you know, reach over and pinch his cheek and says, "Yeah, you've been a good Jewish boy, oy vey." But then he says, "But where's your heart at? Okay, so you've done some good things, but where's your heart at?" See, this guy did not have a problem with giving. He did not have a problem with giving. It says, you know, he honored his father and his mother, and he loved his neighbor as himself. He had some wealth. I imagine he was willing to share with this person, with that person, everything else. But Jesus saw something in him. He saw a problem. He didn't have a problem with giving. He had a problem with letting go. He had an issue with letting go of what he had. Yeah, he was willing to give, maybe here and there and do this and that, but the real issue was, are you willing to let go? God did not want his things. God wasn't interested in his possessions. God was interested in his heart. And Jesus was giving this guy a chance to toss everything aside and go and follow him, be one of his disciples. Wow! Incredible. But he was having a problem with letting things go. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, and I'll read this. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This man needed to let go of what he had set his heart on. See, there have been times in my life where I have felt God call me absolutely to an altar. Brother Tom, you shared with me once, I believe. You said the Lord spoke to you, "Well, let's have an offering." And I've been in that very same place. He talked about how the Lord had him first put his wallet in, and his, you know, and I've been there. I've had times where I prayed and said, "God, okay, I'm giving you my house, my car, my job. You can have my bank account." I've had to just be willing to release everything. I think that's what it means when Paul admonished us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. See, this rich young ruler wanted to do some religious practice but not have it really affect his lifestyle. He liked his life. He liked it the way it was. And Jesus said, "Let it go. Let it go. It's weighing you down. It's not going to help you. You know, a couple weeks ago, and we shared out of Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so huge a cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. And sometimes it's not in giving that we have a problem. It's in the letting go. It's in the releasing. It's in the letting go. Luke 17:33, whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. And that's a very interesting scripture. It's Luke 17:33, and we've heard that one about seeking to keep your life and lose it, and lose your life to preserve it. But there's some context to those verses, and it's the verses just before it, verses 30 through 32. It's Luke 17, verses 30 through 32. Jesus says, it will be just like that on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, let no one on the housetop come down and retrieve his possessions. Likewise, let no one in the field return for anything he has left behind. Remember Lot's wife? Do you remember Lot's wife? Called out of that wicked city of Sodom. You know what? I bet Sodom was a lot like some of our cities today. I bet it was in the natural. I bet it was an exciting place to live. There was probably all kinds of things to do. There was things to see. And loaded with sin. Loaded with sin. And when God finally was ready to pour out his judgment on Sodom, and Abraham had interceded for the people there, and God sent an angel of the Lord to help Lot, to bring Lot out, and it said, Lot hesitated. He knew that God was going to destroy it, and he still hesitated. Where was his heart at? The angel of the Lord took him and brought him out. It says, the Lord having mercy on him. And his wife and his daughters came out. But then what happens? They're walking, and Lot's wife turns around and looks back. And it's not just the act of looking back. It's the act of, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back. And it says she was turned into a pillar of salt. I'm glad God doesn't do that to us. Thank God for that. But, you know, it's a matter of being willing to let things go. So, in other words, the giving is really for us. In essence, when we give, it's for us. It's something where we get to let go. God doesn't need your stuff. Does God need your stuff? No, he doesn't. No. I'm always reminded of the Psalm 50 and Psalm 50 verses 9 and 10. You know, the Israelites were to bring all of these offerings, but in the end, God says, I have no need for a bull from your stall or goats from your pens. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. God doesn't need your stuff. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants to get at the very core. He wants your affection to be set on him, not on stuff. You know, and when I stand up here and I preach about giving, I don't want your money. I don't need your money. I have another job. I am not here for the money. Let me tell you that. Let me tell you, not here for the money. Absolutely not. God, it's for you. God wants your heart. God gives you the chance to give because he wants you to have the chance to let go. The first step in godly giving is letting go. Letting go. Not clinging to the things.
And I just ask you this morning to consider with me, because I have to ask myself this all the time, because stuff creeps back in. What is it that God is calling you to let go of so that you can receive more of Him? What is it in you, what is it in me that God wants me to let go of so that I can have more of Him? Only you and the Holy Spirit can answer that question. But I know as soon as I ask that question, the Lord will start to bring things to your mind. Doesn't He do that? I know he does that to me. This is not about giving up things. Oh, I have to give things up. I had some cousins. They were very religious. And I believe they had a relationship with the Lord, but they were part of a much more traditional church. And when they came around Lenten season, from Ash Wednesday till Easter, they would always find something in their family to give up. And every year they would like give up television. And I used to think, when I was a kid, they're giving up television. That's a good, religious thing to do, but it's not just about doing a good work. I had a friend of mine who used to feel like God was just depriving him of all the joy in his life. He used to say, what was it? You guys might know who I'm talking about when I say this. He used to say, everything that tastes good is sinful. He's like always unhappy, like God was taking all of the joy out of his life. God's not trying to take the joy out of anybody's life. He's trying to put the joy back into your life and take the stuff out that's not going to give you joy, that's not going to fulfill you, that's not going to help you to know him better. That's what it is. And it's all about letting go. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13, laying everything down, putting stuff aside, being willing to release. The first step in godly giving is letting go. The second step in godly giving is understanding the principle of spiritual investment. There are teachers now who will preach that if you just give to this ministry, God is going to reward you. You'll get something this week. Sometimes they say crazy things like that. We're not guaranteed an earthly return. We are guaranteed a heavenly return. We are. Philippians 4:14-19. If you have your Bible, this one's worth looking up. Philippians 4:14-19. Nevertheless, you have done well. This is Paul speaking to the Philippian church. They were givers. Nevertheless, you have done well to share in my affliction. And as you Philippians know, in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church but you partnered with me in the manner of giving and receiving. For even while I was in Thessalonica, you provided for my needs again and again. Not that I am seeking a gift. Paul knew God would provide for him. But I am looking for the fruit that may be credited to your account. I looked that up because I thought that's not what it could really mean. I mean, my mind immediately thinks of like a bank account. Like we're, I looked it up. That's exactly what it means. That's exactly what it means. That like your heavenly account. Wow. I have all I need and more now that I have received your gifts from Epaphroditus. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Do you hear those words? Their gifts were a fragrant offering. The Jews knew what that meant, that sacrifice on the altar, the animal sacrifices that they used to give with the incense, the beautiful smelling fragrant offerings, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So, in other words, he's saying, you haven't invested yourself in the kingdom of God. It's come up before God as worship. It's like incense. And fruit can be credited to your account. There is an eternal reward for that. Matthew 19, and I'll just read these. Matthew 19, 27 through 29. Look, Peter replied, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, in the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for the sake of my name will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. I don't really know what that inheritance, that return, will be like in heaven. I don't know what it'll be like, but I'm looking forward to it. Because he's promised to us people who will let go now. Who will let go now. And does that mean, like the rich young ruler, that Jesus is calling you to sell all of your possessions, get rid of all of your stuff, and just live a monastic life? Is that what he's saying? No. He's expecting you to be a good steward, but to hold the things you have with open hands. Let them go. And be open to the Spirit of God, how he would have you use them so that they don't get stuck to you, so that they don't cling to you. Do your possessions possess you, or do you possess your possessions? That's kind of the way I have to think about that. You know, do the things in this life possess us, or do we simply have them to use them and invest them in the kingdom of God? Luke 12:33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Well, you know, be a good steward of the things you have. Provide yourselves with purses that will not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Oh, knowing that we're laying up spiritual reward. There's something promised to us. Malachi 3:10 talks about bringing the tithes into the storehouse. I'm not preaching specifically tithing today, but listen to what he says. Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you blessing without measure. God was just simply asking the Israelites to obey. Just obey. Just obey me and I will bless you. Be obedient to what I've called you to do. Be obedient with what I have given you, and I'll pour it out. So, and I'm gonna close now, but what is God calling you to let go of? Number one. Number two, where is your treasure? Be honest, where's your treasure? I have found that I have treasured some things on this earth way too much because I get panicked when I think of losing them. Sometimes it's people, sometimes it's my retirement account. When I watch some of my retirement account going, no. Where is my treasure? And number three, Am I making an eternal investment? Or am I laying up treasure in heaven? Once we're gone, it's too late to invest. Once you're gone, it's too late to invest. And there are wonderful things in as God leads, as you're a good steward. It doesn't mean you throw everything into it. You listen to God. But in investing in the kingdom of God is going to pay eternal dividends. And this is our chance. This is our chance to do it now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Father, first that you would help us. Lord, that the things of the earth are sticky. They want to stick to us. They want to cling to us. They want to draw our affection. They want to speak to our eyes and speak to our ears and please us. And we get attached to things. Father, I pray that you would help us, Father, to live lives that where we are able to let go. And not just hope to do some good things, but to let go of our life and put it in your hands. Father, help us to have our hearts and our affections in you, Father, rather than in the things of the world. And then help us to know, Father, that our investment in the kingdom of heaven will bring a great reward one day. Father, we know that giving is so central to the gospel because you were willing to come and give everything for us. Help us, Father, to be ones who are willing to give everything for you. Help us with this, Lord. Give us your grace. We need your help, Father. It's something that's hard for us to do, but by your grace, we can release it all and follow you. Father, thank you for it. Thank you for your help and your grace in Jesus' name. If you are here today and you would like prayer, we would love, love, love to pray for you. Oh, I forgot to mention, our brother Curtis Corky went through his surgery last Thursday with flying colors. Said it was the surgery went very, very well. Curtis is also sitting home very, very unhappy because it hurts. It's a very painful surgery. He had rotator cuff surgery. He had torn his tendon. But it's painful surgery. I've had both my shoulders done. Tom had a shoulder done. It's not fun. So please remember, we've been praying for him every week, but it went very well. But please continue to pray for his recovery. I meant to bring that up on my list, and I will pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, mend our brother. I pray you'd give him his shoulder back, Lord. Father, I know he has many, many things in his heart, Lord, that he wants to do. I pray that you would restore, heal, and deliver him from that pain. Bless he and Randy, Lord, as they're home today. Bless them. Pour out your spirit on them, Father. Lord, there are gifts and ministries yet to be walked out in their lives. Father, you have great plans for them. I pray you would use them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and you'd like prayer today, please feel free to come up. Otherwise, God bless you. Please remember, if you're a board member today, I'd like to just see you just for a few moments at the close of service. Thank you.